The Precinctor Raider Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is brought to you by Zero Dark Sci-Fi Skirmish Gaming in a Fallen Earth. You can find Zero Dark from Wargame Vault. Just go to wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
It's Mech Week, so rather than look at new products this week, because to be honest, I couldn't find any new releases relevant to this topic, I'm just going to cover off some broadly relevant news I'm aware of, and then we'll move on to the discussion.
The news.
Farsight, which is a mech-based board game from Braincrack Games, has a miniatures-based supplement called the War Chest, which is currently on sale. It contains 19 mechs of 3 different designs, 9 artillery pieces, and 12 infantry bases. The scale is it's basically 15 mil, and the 3D designs that I have seen look amazing. I have no idea what the quality is like, but it's $39.99 for 40 miniatures, which does look like a stonking deal. So get along while the sale lasts, and apparently the board game is quite good. If you like your mechs on the massive scale, then do take a look at Monsterpocalypse. The new edition of the game has taken a big step away from the collectible miniatures market and into proper tabletop wargaming. In the context of what I said about wargames taking themselves too seriously last week, that this is not a game that takes itself at all seriously. Well, except for the price. A typical giant mech is going to set you back between $22 and $30, but on the plus side, they also have a 50-foot woman, an armoured King Kong, a Godzilla, a Cthulhu, plus aliens, toxic goo monsters, and ninja mechs. So, all good. A classic stalwart of mech combat, of course, is Battletech. Now owned, or at least I should say licensed to, Catalyst Game Labs, the Battletech Beginner Box contains everything you need to get started, including 2 mechs. Well, no, okay, it contains 2 plastic mechs and then a bunch of card punch-out mechs. And it is only $20, though, which is a terrific entry price for a whole new game. The full Battletech box is $60 and contains 8 mechs. I mean, it's not an awful price point considering the size of the full rulebook, which is a hefty piece of paper. But you would think twice, I think, about diving into that one for only 8 mechs in the box. Compare and contrast, though, with Weta Workshop's Giant Killer Robots, aka GKR Heavy Hitters. This box contains 4 giant mechs, 8 mini mechs, and 4 flying things. And because it's Weta, they are truly beautiful designs that work across a real range of scales from smaller than 6mm right up to 54mm. Unfortunately, it's also £120 before you add in shipping from New Zealand. The giant mechs are technically pre-paints, but they don't look like anything a bit of primer wouldn't fix. And the Sweet and Salty expansion contains 2 more teams for £102. Ouch. I think that is probably one for the birthday list. Okay, discussion time.
The discussion.
At the end of a week in which I've been trying to put out mech-related content, what have I learned? Well, not everyone likes mechs. This is legitimately weird to me. I mean, I can see how someone not into sci-fi or not into future war stuff would be uninterested in mechs. But there are some folks who legitimately despise the mech and all that it stands for, literally. Something I've not discussed at all on this podcast yet is martial arts. And this is something of a tangent, but bear with me. At some point, I'm sure I'll find an excuse to go into this in more detail. But as a martial arts student of many, many years, I spend a lot of time chatting with martial artists and spending time in martial arts social media groups, almost as much as I spend in war games groups, to be honest. But a conversation I find myself having again and again in martial arts circles is one with people convinced that the only measure of a martial arts value is whether it is practical. Hope you can see the air quotes I'm putting up there. To them, the physical exercise, the learning of poise and grace, the strengthening of the body and the ability to engage in a civil duel of physical speed and mental tactics with another practitioner are all irrelevant. To them, it has to work, and where it has to work is usually, air quotes again, on the street. Now, I don't know what kinds of streets they walk, so no judgment, but around here, the only thing that works on the street is my dog poo bags. And getting back on topic, so it is with mechs. Anti-mechas want their sci-fi battles to be practical and realistic. More air quotes floating into my language there. I'm not sure why, because it's not like these people are ever going to be put in charge of a futuristic army and told to win a battle to save the human race. I understand the idea of imaginative immersion, though. I can appreciate that you might not want your suspension of disbelief to be broken by something as improbable as a mech. But mechs offer so much to a sci-fi battle, much more than just a walking tank. I've blogged this week about how mechs are a yardstick of the level of insanity you want in your sci-fi. But this is really about the game now. We do want to immerse ourselves in our games. We do want them to feel like a compelling narrative. And with that in mind, mechs do two things. First, they force us to confront a narrative setting in which mechs make sense. For whatever reason, the terrain, the technology, or the psychology of warfare in which you're engaged, it makes mechs not merely possible, but logical. If you're prepared to accept blowers, for heaven's sake, you can't then decide that mechs are impossible to accommodate with some combination of technical and strategic conditions. Second, and this is particularly true at 15mm and below, mechs provide a smaller scale army or force with a sense of personhood. Because they tend to be distinctive, tall and few in number, they stand out aesthetically on the battlefield and they fill the narrative role of the tabletop hero. I guess the point I'm making is that mechs don't have to be practical within your common frame of reference to still permit a suspension of disbelief and an immersion in the setting. Lots of things in sci-fi defy what's practical, but they tell us something about their setting. The measure of practicality that you're applying to the setting is invalid. Mechs exist, ergo mechs make sense. It's no different to laser swords exist, therefore laser swords make sense, or psychic powers exist, therefore psychic powers make sense. Geeks of all kinds are great at accommodating the inconsistencies of their favourite properties into the canon. Anyone remember how long it took the Millennium Falcon to fly the Kessel Run? 12 parsecs, right? No, because a parsec is, of course, you all know this, a measure of distance, not one of time. And now that one throwaway line is the basis for an entire movie. So, if you're going to manage that, you can manage mechs.
Precinct Omega.
Having made the argument for why mechs shouldn't be a problem for people, however, Precinct Omega still recognises that, for some people, they're a stumbling block. And, like I said, I don't judge. There are very sensible reasons why mechs aren't logical. That's why Horizon Wars allows for the possibility that players might not want to use them, and why I left them out of the core rules for Zero Dark. And I suppose at this point I should also start mentioning Hard War, which is kind of a new version, not new edition, I hasten to add, new version of Horizon Wars with a new setting that's being released by Strato Miniatures. Like it or not, mechs are still cool. And that's why they're in the rules of Horizon Wars and Hard War, and we'll get rules in due course for Zero Dark, because cool sells, even when it's silly. Of course it does. Look at any sci-fi concept, then the primary motivation for wanting to accommodate it is into the logic of the setting isn't because it really makes sense, it's because it's cool. And right now, I am struggling with this concept in the third installment of the Horizon Wars trilogy. Infinite Dark is going to be a sci-fi space combat game built on broadly the same mechanics as Horizon Wars and Zero Dark, but I've been struggling with two related concepts: space fighters and space carriers. Now, for all that I embrace the rule of cool, Horizon Wars is still supposed to be a hard-ish sci-fi setting. That's why colonization in the setting is hard and why being shot hurts. It's why mechs are still supported by conventional and air elements. It's why Venus wants to kill you. And in a hard sci-fi setting, neither fighters nor fighter carriers make any sense at all. Not even in a hard-ish setting. But they are undeniably very cool, which is why nearly every space combat game includes both. So, I have come to terms with the fact that the game will include both fighters and carriers. My job, therefore, is to come up with a reason why that should make sense. I haven't done that yet, but I will. Having diverted into space combat, this is a mech podcast, so I'm not going to go into my plans for Infinite Dark at length. Suffice to say, Mech Week hasn't been everything I would have liked it to have been, but I did make it up at the last minute. Next year, a lot more planning and preparation is going to go into Mech Week. I hope some other people will join me, will get on board. We can talk about mechs again next year, whatever week, whatever Monday starts at or closest to the 22nd of June, Mech Week. Put it in your diaries. Look, I've been super busy with stuff this week, including and not including mechs. I am pretty shattered, so this has been a much shorter podcast even than my recent ones. But I hope you've enjoyed it, and I will speak to you again next week.